TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 111, and I am Libby, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Tom from Glendale.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Allison from Tarzana.
It's our 111st podcast.
111st. Nice. In the news, this is actually a couple weeks old, and I apologize for not seeing it sooner, so some of you may be like, oh, I've already heard that. It seems that on Supernatural, the show has been renewed, but with the caveat that Sarah Gamble is out. So Sarah Gamble is out as the showrunner, and CW is like, oh, we're just giving her a new position sideways where she's doing some development. No, she's fired.
She'll be collecting a check, but
yeah,
she's fired.
She's fired. And she is being replaced by Jeremy Carver, who wrote some good episodes of Supernatural. He wrote In the Beginning, which was the one where Dean goes back in time and hangs with his parents and stuff, which is a good episode. And
that was an awesome episode,
and
actually,
The Mystery Spot, which was a really funny episode. So basically, he can do drama and he can do comedy. But I don't know if he could be a showrunner. But he was...
time will tell.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, he was off doing Being Human US, which does not endear him to me, per se, but...
Well, when they throw big wads of money at you, you're going to say, no, I'm not worth the money.
Yeah, well...
Keep me in the menial
the
job.
The only hope I have is that the next season actually has a good arc. Because I'm just... this season is just like, finish.
They need to wrap it up. 8 years for a drama is a long time.
Yes, well, still the only show CW has that makes money, so anyway. All right, next
piece. What about Vampire Diaries?
Okay, those are the two shows.
Okay, whatever.
Next piece of news is that Southland has been renewed for 10 episodes.
All right!
And I'm quite excited, too. I really love Southland.
I pretty much knew that if TNT wanted 10 and the producers wanted 13, how that was going to end.
Yes. Producers.
Have they ever done 13, or is it always 10?
They've never done 13.
Oh, well, then that's fine. So, I mean, that's what they're used to. It's not like they got cut then.
No.
And Showtime has renewed The Borgias.
Yay!
I was waiting for Allison's reaction to that.
It was slightly delayed.
That is good news, yes.
Well, it
doesn't surprise me at all, but yes.
I started watching The Borgias. I am 3 episodes in. And I'll probably end up watching it over the summer when all my shows, you know, when I get some time.
Well, it starts, I keep telling you, it starts slow. It really does. Once you get to like about the 4th, 5th episode, it really starts getting super interesting and really intense, and you will be hooked at that point. So, one of those shows that do start slow.
Yeah, so obviously I stopped right at the point.
Right when it's slow, you're not giving yourself a chance here.
Speaking of the summer shows, I want to remind everybody that this Friday, Common Law starts on USA. So that's the first new summer show out of the block, starts Friday.
A couple pieces of news. Veep got picked up for season 2 by HBO last week.
And Girls, they both did.
Sigh.
Ugh, God.
Actually, the second episode of Veep was better.
I watched half of it. I didn't think so.
Yeah, I thought it was better. I mean, it's no.
I didn't see Veep. My ugh was for Girls.
Oh, I love Girls. I think Girls is one of the best shows I've seen in the last 10 years. Did you watch the third episode?
No, I did not.
I haven't watched it yet, but it's a very polarizing show. People either love it or hate it.
Yeah, it is very polarizing, but I love it. I mean, I watched the pilot. I've seen it like 7 times. I watched it every day.
But you're making me want to stab my eyes out.
All right.
Two more quick pieces
of news. The CW's Green Arrow pilot is considered a lock for series pickup. Evidently, they are really wanting to replace the void left by Smallville's departure. And they really don't have any good signature drama shows.
Is there a Green Arrow? Is the guy who was in Smallville?
No, it's completely... It's a new take on the character, so nobody continues.
Oh, okay. Wait, does that mean it's not even produced by, what is it, Alfred Gough or whatever that guy's name is?
Gowan Millar, no. Different people.
Okay, all right.
And last piece of news, Paramount CBS Video has announced that TNG Blu-ray box set number one will street in July.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've never seen that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That always blows my mind how little Star Trek you've seen.
Well, no, don't get me wrong. I've seen some of Next Generation.
No, but...
it's not like I don't know who the characters are, but I've never really watched
them. Yeah, but you've only seen the movies.
Oh,
but
no, I've seen the movies, and I watched a few episodes on Netflix a few years ago. Although all you guys always tell me the first season isn't that great. So I'm not sure why we're all excited.
This is true, but the first season means they will be getting to the good season soon.
Yes.
So you think it's still worth watching?
The first season?
I don't know about that.
Anyway, let's move on. Television of current day. All right. First up, let's talk about Game of Thrones.
Woo!
Okay.
And this week, a lot of stuff happens. The thing that trips me out about Game of Thrones is the story is so just like...
Okay.
Everybody gets a 5 minutes.
Now, the event that y'all were talking in code about last week, was that Renly's untimely demise, or is that something else coming up?
No, that was Renly's untimely demise.
Okay, because
yeah.
That was... What the heck were those things that came out of her? Like, their shadow demon thingy?
It was just one thing.
Well...
It was one thing.
It was crazy.
Yeah, but it was great because what's interesting is they show it appearing in last week's episode, and then it kills Renly in this week's episode,
which is
so you had to pay attention. But that was great because Catelyn Stark is kind of like, well, they can't hang around and try to tell. It's like, yes, yeah, a shadow demon did it.
The king was killed by a smoke monster.
It's like,
absolutely,
how do you,
it happened just like that.
Yeah, there's no way that they could have stayed around and tried to explain that. So getting out of Dodge was a good move.
Yes,
and
it
I
was.
Really like the blonde, Brienne is her name.
Brienne.
I really like her. And I like that she swore her allegiance
to Catelyn
and not some... one of the 20 people trying to be king. So I thought that was a really good moment.
So what's the deal with, okay, Renly's brother is Stannis, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stannis, are we supposed to like him or not like him? Because I'm on me no likey.
Well,
yeah, I'm with you. If we're supposed to like him, they're doing a really bad job.
Because he's got the most legitimate claim to the throne,
right?
Correct?
He does.
But we don't like him, which is interesting.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if they're conveying this as well as they should be, but the whole thing about Stannis, the reason why people don't like him is because he's such a stickler to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
He's all about doing things by the book, and that makes people, and he blurts out what he's thinking, and he doesn't really have a censor. So he's always just stodgy and just always so formal, and that's why people don't like him. But the woman in red, she basically corrupts him. And that kind of makes him...
Even worse.
It makes him dishonorable, which was
weird. It makes him a hypocrite.
Right. Which is Davos, who's the guy that...
Who can speak truth to him.
That speaks... Mm-hmm. That he keeps him around because he tells him like it is. Everybody else kisses his butt, but that dude actually tells him what is. And he basically is like, yeah, she's ruining you. And that's the first good advice he's given him. Or anybody's given him in a while, so...
Not that he's paying attention.
Well, he did pay attention to Davos.
He's
like,
but he's still kind of like, okay, I appreciate that you've got my back, but I'm still going to... But I'm still in charge, you're not.
Well, yeah, he's... Of course, because he is still in charge. But he did listen to him about bringing the woman to King's Landing.
Like, what's her name?
Melisandre?
Yeah,
something
like that. Crazy, freaky, naked chicken red with shadow demon babies.
But the thing
it's
is,
the red lady, basically.
The red lady. She's basically a sorceress.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how you have to think about her.
Whoa.
And of course, my favorite thing is because I'm the my ship on this show is Daenerys and Jorah. So they gave me a really good, slightly depressing, but a really good scene. You know, where everybody keeps telling her, like, Jorah's in love with you. She's like, pshaw.
Oh, Mormont?
Yeah, Mormont.
Young Mormont.
Yeah, I love how she can't see this.
Right, everyone else sees it.
Is she just in denial?
No, or... but I mean, I don't think she really saw it because the moment
she just sees him as a loyal follower.
Right. The moment where he actually says that line about, sometimes I look at you and I can't believe you're real, it just like light bulb.
Seriously?
She went, oh.
So she does realize it now.
Now she does.
Okay, about freaking time.
But I don't know what she knows. I don't think she knows what to do about it. Like, she's not sure how she feels about it.
The gay
black dude? I think it influenced her changing her decision.
Right.
You know, certainly.
Right. And she's also, you know, giving him the opportunity to prove her wrong about, you know, because marrying that guy is, obviously, there's a catch.
Oh,
and the fact that she doesn't see what the catch is should let her know. Take a moment, figure out what the catch is. Because his whole thing is, rich people don't just give you half their money. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a catch somewhere.
And he's just after the Dragon Alliance.
Yeah, of course. He's all about power.
Right.
I mean, he didn't rise... you have to understand what his background is. He came to the city with nothing. And he didn't rise to become one of the 13 without being incredibly smart and incredibly cunning.
Ruthless.
There's nothing that this guy... You have to figure there's nothing this guy does that doesn't include a catch.
Right. Peter, you haven't spoken.
You know, it's funny. I watched this a few days ago, and I've been listening to you guys because I've been trying to remember what happened. I remember Renly dying. I remember I love Daenerys too. I remember all that stuff being really good. But for some reason, I'm not remembering. How does it end?
It ended with the scene with Arya. She's got a pet assassin now.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah.
Arya goes gangster.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
I like that. Oh, there is a part of me that's like, you know, when the guy's like, "Well, I will give you 3." Like, I would love her to be like, "Joffrey." Like, I can't do that. But I was like, I just want to see what he would say. You know, so.
Well, also, we forgot, the other thing is Arya's conversation with Tywin, when he's like, name your house, and asked her all the questions about Rob, and it's like, oh, do you really believe that he could turn into a direwolf, and do you believe he can't be killed, blah, 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 and she's like, anyone can be killed. And stare off was
just, you know, she's just looking at him.
That girl is amazing.
To be able to do a stare off with Charles Dance, like seriously, that
she's
was pretty good.
Amazing.
She is. I am really so impressed with how they've cast the kids in this show. Because one of the faults of so many shows are child actors.
Especially
it's so
US
hard to find
shows.
A good one. And they found 3 that are really astonishing.
Yeah.
See, I like Arya. I think the girl who plays, was it Sansa?
Sansa.
Mm-hmm. She's okay. And who's the other kid? Who am I forgetting?
Joffrey.
Well, they have Joffrey and Bran.
That's a really tough role because the character is so unlikable and everything. That's a tough role. I don't blame the actor. That's hard. But
I think he's doing a great job with Joffrey. I think Joffrey could suffer really badly with a poor actor playing him, and I think he's doing an amazing job.
That's what I'm saying. I still have a lot of issues with Joffrey. I don't find him very interesting as a character. Like, but I don't blame the actor. I think the kid's doing what he can, but I don't find him, he's so, like, making him even more sadistic is just like, ooh, what a surprise. He's even more sadistic.
Well, but that's an issue with the writing. That's not the character.
Exactly.
That's not the actor.
I actually disagree with you on that. I think they actually have made Joffrey more interesting.
I think they have a potential to make Joffrey more interesting if he deals with realizing that was actually Jaime. I think that could put some layers to the character.
You mean his father is actually Jaime?
Then he's literally a bastard?
Like, I think that could make the character go down a different path, but if the path of Joffrey is just to be sadistic and cruel, I mean, again, I'm not blaming the actor. I think the kid does a good job. I'm just saying I don't really find it that interesting.
I think that he's got different, because he is becoming a different kind of character, because when he was just a child and his mom was telling him what to do, he just kind of came off as a spoiled brat. But now that he's
a mama's boy.
Yeah, mama's boy, spoiled brat. But now that he's king, he's cut all ties with his mother, and he has become his own person. It's a super evil person, but
yeah,
he's become his own person.
He's dangerously psychotic.
I right, mean, and I think that's
truly, truly dangerous.
Yeah, I think that turn of character is really interesting.
And I think Allison's point is, this show, compared to so many other shows this season, specifically Terra Nova, where the kids were terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there any other plot point we forgot? Wait, who we talked about?
Well, I think they did a little bit of the wall at the beginning
of the episode. Somebody, I think Peter was the one that you said that the stuff going on at the wall was actually kind of confusing.
I thought it was a little confusing. I wasn't quite sure what was going
on with that. So the breakdown of that is that the they're trying to scope out the wildlings and they're meeting up with some other Night Watch. So all the Night Watch are together and they're going to go scout out the army of the wildlings. That's pretty much all that happened. Like, yeah, that's it. Not much else.
They didn't resolve anything.
No. I think that's it for Game of Thrones. Thumbs up.
Yep.
Definitely.
I cannot wait for the next new episode. Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, let's talk about Mad Men.
I am so digging this season.
Yeah. I mean, it's been great. I was really nervous because the fourth season really knocked it out of the park that I was like, well, how long can you keep this going, you know? But, like, and actually, speaking of child actors, I think the girl who plays Sally, she's fantastic.
She's freaking amazing.
I don't know. I am so surprised. This episode, what she goes through, I was just like, oh, my God. You know, like, yeah. It was good. I mean, of course, yeah, it was really good. And I mean, obviously, I think to me, what I'm finding so interesting in the season in general, and Tom and I have talked about this before, is just, you know, it's really weird how I'm rooting for Don to be able to hold on to some sense of like a happy marriage and like a happy like life, you know? And I just keep thinking it's going to get screwed up somehow, you know, like, because I really like Megan, you know, and now we meet like Megan's parents,
and it was like interesting having her introducing her parents in the way they did, shed so much light on why she is the way she is.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Definitely.
So it'll be interesting, and just the fact that the father is so envious of Don's success, and projecting, you know, that everything's about him and his shortcomings, etc. It's like, dude, get over yourself. It's not everything's not about you.
Right. But I mean, even like going back with the Sally thing, I mean, like, it's really interesting seeing where that character has gone, you know, because essentially in the Mad Men world, so obviously not in the Game of Thrones world, but in the Mad Men world, Sally is kind of, can be, I mean, she is her mother's daughter. I mean, she can be very spoiled and very selfish. I mean, the very fact that, like, as I recall, she's on the phone, right? And the phone is across the hallway, and
that's how her step-grandmother trips.
Right, and that's how she trips. And, of course, later when she gets to the house with her dad, with Don Draper,
she lies.
It's like her brother's toy or something like that.
She lies about it.
She completely lies about it.
Oh, totally.
It's like, ugh. But then, in that same episode, there's a nice moment where I think she's, like, getting food, and they're like, oh, Sally eats anything but fish. And it's like, okay, well, that little kid. But then, of course, later, she's going to this party that is celebrating her father, and she wants to act like a grown-up, and they bring her fish. Like, that's the dish. And she completely eats it. It's not even, like, a question. Because, again,
She's trying to be a grown-up.
She's trying to be a grown-up and stuff. And it's like, I like those little things. It's not, like, so in your face. It's just like, oh, that's nice, you know. Well, but, of course, as it ended, there are some things that she's not really prepared to see.
Yes, her new step-grandmother-in-law going down on Roger. Not one of the things that she wanted to see.
It was great. It was not only was that, like, so disturbing, like, for her to see, but also the fact that in that same party, like, Sterling is, like, you know, he's being that great kind of, like, Uncle Sterling. Like, you're going to be my date tonight, and here's all the people we need to talk to, and I want you to say that. And it's just, they have a nice little bond, and then she walks in, and she sees this, like, this really messed up thing.
But the thing is, isn't that just kind of the epitome of Roger? And in some respects, almost the epitome of the male patriarchal system of the 60s. You've got this stately, grandfatherly-looking guy, and he's a sexual deviant.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah. And then we're not even talking, because I know we have to wrap up, and I also thought the scene with Peggy and her mom, that was really good.
Well, you knew how that was going to go, though.
I totally knew how it was going to end, but it would have been so easy to make the mom completely just one-dimensional and evil, but, like, I do believe she cares about her daughter. I do believe that, like, when she's like, this guy is just going to use you until he gets to the person he really wants. I'm like, well, she might have a point. You know?
It's, and it's the 60s. That kind of thing was not done in the 60s.
It is so, and also, Peggy's face, you know, after Jones, like, oh, maybe he's going to ask you to marry. That's why he wants to take, and the fact that he's like, oh, I think we should move in together, to see Elizabeth Moss go through these different stages of, like, this kind of disappointment, but trying to, like, move forward and be like, I think that's a good idea. And you're just like, oh, man, like, dying inside, you know, like, yeah.
All right, so wrapping up.
Two thumbs up for Mad Men.
Obviously, all right. Thumbs up, yeah.
All right, so next up, let's talk about Once Upon a Time. And this week was Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
So, I mean, they finally answered who is this mystery guy who can come into the town. And if he's from the other fairy tale world, how can he come and go from Storybrooke? You're like, what the heck?
Because the script says so.
Well, no. Well, they actually...
They came up with a good reason.
Yeah, and I actually thought that was pretty good. And I understood why Geppetto wanted his son to survive. I get that. But sending a 7-year-old to take care of an infant is a bad
idea.
Well, he's sort of in a bad place because if he didn't do that, his son was going to turn into a block of wood. Right. So it's not like he really had a lot of options.
And
I mean, 7-year-olds, you know, with a kid, or he turns into kindling, you know.
Yeah, I understood the point, and it just... I guess I was disappointed that he didn't take care of the baby, but he's 7. So, you know, you can't really be mad at him for not taking care of the baby.
No, right. I totally...
Goldfish,
that absolutely made sense to me when he said bye. He's 7 years old. I expect no sense of responsibility at all from this kid.
Well, he did feel a little bad, but, you know, then he...
But then, bye.
I know. The only thing is, I was surprised it took him so long to try to find her again. Like, that actually, I guess he kind of erased it from his mind and went on with his life. So I guess that sort of makes sense. And now he's trying to fix everything because he's turning back into wood.
My question is...
That's a good incentive.
Please, for the love of all that's holy, Emma, believe some of this stuff. Because it's been, what, 20 episodes of...
Yeah, and it just makes her look so thick. It really makes
her look stupid.
Well, I think this made a nice dent because he told her whole origin story, and he's like, "This is where we came through," and he told her that whole thing, and he kind of sounds crazy, but everybody's telling you this now, so come on,
seriously.
So I'm feeling like, especially we got the finale coming next week, and it looks like
is the finale next week already?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
No. I think we have 2 more episodes.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Okay, we have 2. All right, so yeah, so I think that she will believe by the time the season's done.
She better.
I hope so, because this is getting old.
All right, so Once Upon a Time, I thought this was a good episode. Thumbs up?
Yeah.
All right. No, you're like, ah.
It's just, they've mismanaged the story arc.
I think this is a good push in the right direction,
yeah,
so I'm
but
happy.
I do agree with you because it's been all over the place, and you know there's been so much just treading water in one place.
Right, but this was on track.
I did like this episode a lot, and I like him. I like the character who's playing August/Pinocchio, and one of the things I especially like was that little bit with him and Geppetto at the end.
Oh, that was nice.
That broke my heart.
That was nice.
I was like, oh, I had a room. That was good. That was a good moment. All right,
yeah.
Next up, let's talk about Castle. And I don't remember what happened.
The zombie episode. The zombie walk episode.
Oh!
Yes. Which was actually fun. That was actually...
Fun.
Yeah, really, well,
I love when Castle finally gets confronted with these zombies and goes, how do I not know about this?
No, what was great was when they actually are surrounded by zombies and Beckett has her gun and he's like, you know to shoot him in the head, right? And she has this moment where she doesn't know whether she should shoot them or go like they're not real, but they're surrounded, and their brains might be getting eaten. That was a really good moment where she's like, you don't know what she's gonna do, and I was like, don't shoot the civilians. but I almost feel like if you dress up like that in the middle of the night and chase people down the street, if you get shot in the head, you know, like...
That's
that.
Officer, a zombie was after me.
I was like, that's on you.
I put him down.
That's on you, because especially if you mob up like that, especially on people that don't know that you guys are playing the game. Yeah.
And are holding a gun at you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Anyway, The episode itself was pretty funny because they also had a good moment with him and his daughter, where they were like, you know, she was like, "Oh, I'm too old to play laser tag with you anymore," but it was all a ruse so that she could get the final point, because apparently they've been playing since she was 5, and it was like first one to 10,000 points wins. And they were coming up on the final points, and she's like, "Oh, he actually won because he dressed as a zombie and scared her." Right, yeah. So that was all pretty good. I liked his moments.
I like
with her.
That they had the there's a moment between Martha and Castle where she gives him some solid motherly advice, and it's good when they play Martha as a real human being instead of just supreme diva caricature.
Yeah. When they humanize her, I like it a lot better than, you know, the diva cartoon.
Yeah, and it looks like next week, which I think should be the finale, they're actually coming up on the whole her mother's killer, who shot her, all that. It's all, you know, they're back to doing a serious episode, which is
interesting. They haven't done much with that arc this year, except for the very beginning of the season.
Right, and they had a couple in the middle, but yeah.
But nothing real earth-shattering.
Right.
Just little references here and there, really, right. Not much else.
So now they're back to it, and it looks like the whole "I love you" statement is way out in the open now. So
isn't it crazy that we have a Nathan Fillion show getting ready to go into season 5? Isn't that awesome?
All right, wrapping that up. Next up, we're going to talk about Eureka!
Heartbreaker.
Well, this one, they finally get out of the Matrix. I like the fact that they kept calling it the Matrix.
I thought the effects in this episode were really cool, especially when reality is crumbling around them in the pixelated blocks.
Yeah, that was, and it was like, "You broke the Matrix," and then he looks like, "Yeah, we broke the Matrix."
I love Beverly blurted out to Carter, "By the way."
Oh, right. She's like, "Oh, by the way, you broke up with Allison, and you're together with Joe," and he's like, "What?" And then he goes into the Matrix. But all of that was all really good, trying to convince people, and now he's... Now that everybody's out, except for Holly, who's dead, sad.
Poor Fargo.
Yeah. That was very sad. But it's actually affecting the people who actually experience that altered reality, have new perceptions of the care of the people that are, you know, they're working with. So everybody's
like the boss. Everybody is afraid of me.
Yeah, everybody's afraid of Andy because he was evil.
But it was just the Estrella's crew. So.
Yeah, but I mean the Estrella's crew was like 100 people, so it's not insignificant. But now the sheriff's all awkward with Joe and she doesn't understand why. I was like, somebody should explain that to her.
How awesome is it that they trapped Senator Wynn in the Beverly trapped Senator Wynn in this virtual?
That was great. Although I had the feeling, you know, as soon as she woke up in the cell,
sheriff station,
I thought
yeah.
that can't be real because they would know she was there.
Right.
And sure enough, as soon as she started trying to leave, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You were stuck in an altered reality. Woo-hoo.
That's what we call poetic justice.
Yes. So, thumbs up. They actually stayed in the whole Matrix thing just exactly the right amount
just
of time.
Just the right amount of time. Three episodes.
Yeah, that was a good call. And so now we move on with the rest of the season, and I'm happy. All right, next up, let's talk about Smash. And when I say let's, people who are not me.
For me, I was saying Smash is kind of like a car wreck. I just can't... it's imperfect, but I can't stop watching. And every once in a while, you get episodes that have flashes of brilliance in them.
So was this that one?
This, I think so, because the whole... one of the major plot lines is that Julia, the writer, lyricist... Mm-hmm. The actor she'd had a fling with before the show starts and during this season... they need to bring him back to the show because the actor playing
their replacement, Joe DiMaggio, just walked out on them because he got a film.
He got a film or a pilot or whatever.
You don't have to explain the story to me. Just keep.
So they have to hire him back, and she's like, "No, no way, no way," and because you know I screwed up, I almost ruined my family, and then at the end of the episode, her family comes to her and says, "You need to do this. We're coming with you," which is, mm-hmm. you know, I thought it was a nice reality check, and. It's a well cast show. It's just the scripts don't always serve the cast well.
It's a really well cast show. And I agree. I thought that I figured she'd have to come around somehow, but I thought it was a pretty good. I was like, well, this is a pretty good struggle. It's like, what does she do? Is she really, you know, her relationship with her family is so tenuous right now. Like, you know, what's her best move? And I thought, yeah, I thought it was pretty. I was like, okay, that's a pretty good. Then, of course, on the other side, you've got I forgot the guy who's the main guy who's the director.
Derek.
He's just so, like, doesn't care. He's just, like, it's professional. Who cares? You know, like, he's just so hard.
Well, he doesn't care about anything. He's really kind of, in some ways, he's semi-sociopathic.
Right.
He just uses people.
And I think part of that's a writing problem, because I like the actor quite a bit, but...
Oh, I love the actor. I love him.
That
is exactly what the character is supposed to be. He's a man whore. He'll sleep with anything. And he uses people. And that is the character. As talented as he's supposed to be, and as personable as he's supposed to be, he's also destructive. He's purposely written like that.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And then you got stuff going on with Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know she's just a train wreck waiting to happen.
Oh well, they knew that.
Yeah.
That's been telegraphed since they brought her on the show. But it'll be interesting. I think my least favorite aspect of the show is this rivalry, I'm doing air quotes, between Megan Hilty and Catherine McPhee, because A, Megan Hilty sings and performs Circles around McPhee, and B, I don't find it that interesting. I mean,
no, I would agree. I mean, and that's one of the problems that the show had in the beginning, was they really focused way too much on their rivalry, and they don't do it as much now, so it's still there, but it's not as annoying. So, I mean, I would agree that, like, that was one of the reasons I didn't like the show as much in the beginning, because I was like, oh, I don't really care about this.
But contriving to have Hilty sleep with the would-be fiancé of McPhee,
yeah, that was,
I'm like, come on, seriously?
Yeah, that was lame. I forgot about that scene.
All right, so are we wrapped up?
Yeah. We're done.
All right, so thumbs which ways?
It's not perfect, but we're still watching, so.
It's fun to watch. It's candy. It's empty calories, but you know, it's fun.
All right. Next up, let's talk about Modern Family. And this week's was, what the heck happened this week?
Or it's got the thing with the car.
The card or the car?
The car.
The sports car. Yeah. Yes, the sports car, which is his...
Phil and Claire in the sports car.
This is midlife crisis car. And I like the fact that Claire didn't say anything, and she just took his car and basically had her own midlife crisis. So that was pretty entertaining.
And then you had Jay, Gloria, and Manny in this reunion.
Right, and then as soon as you tell Gloria that the whole point was to show her off and be the trophy wife, she's like, I'm in. I love that she had the exact opposite reaction that you would think a woman would have.
And Cameron and Mitchell in the bunny, in Lily's bunny.
Oh, I don't know about that. I thought they went to extremes, but I guess that's the point of a sitcom, right?
It was a silly plot line, but it was fun to, you know, the first two were a little... They had more of a serious underpinning.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good. I kind of was disappointed. Strangely, this is the second time where Mitch and Cam have the potential for something, and then it doesn't go the direction. I remember earlier this season, he's going to do a birthday for Cam, and it was going to be, I forgot, what was the theme going to be?
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that was going to be awesome.
I thought that was going to be awesome. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see this. And it's like, and that's not what they do. And in this one, they're like, oh, we're taking the public transportation to Chinatown. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to see. I was like, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to see them in Chinatown. And that's not the episode. It's more like, oh, all right. That was fine. But I would agree. I think I like the other two stories a bit more. But no, it was a good, yeah, it was a funny episode and everything.
I just like the heart of the other two storylines.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right. So,
especially to see Phil and Claire switch places where he has to be responsible, right? And she's being irresponsible, doing cartwheels on the beach, and she loses the keys.
Well, I actually thought that was pretty cool, because it's rare to see Claire kind of just let go.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was actually
and
good.
And we asked her the dry cleaning.
Oh yeah, at the end he's like, so did you do the dry cleaning? He's like, no.
And how lucky were they that they had Kevin, is it Kevin Clash? The guy who's the lead of that movie that was huge for two weekends in a row? The black neighbor dude.
Oh, that guy.
He had the number one movie the last two weekends. How providential was that for ABC that he just happens to be guest starring that night?
Oh, I didn't even realize it. But yeah, he was fun. All right, so thumbs up, Modern Family? Next up, let's talk about Big Bang. And this is the big Wallowitz episode about whether he's going to space or not. And also, Leonard accidentally proposes Penny.
Penny.
Thank you. You know what's funny is I forgot her name, and I had to pretend I was knocking on her door to get the name right. I was like, Penny. Okay, right.
For me, I thought the stuff between Amy and Sheldon was brilliant, though.
Oh, right.
She decides she wants to kind of, you know, up their romantic quotient through manipulation.
Psychological manipulation.
He's like, oh.
And he's like, I'm too smart for that. And falls right into it. That was all pretty good. And then she hit the end scene is awesome. She's just dressed as like Uhura or something.
No, she's dressed as Nurse Chapel.
I was about to say, because Uhura's red. You're right. It was Nurse Chapel.
Nurse Chapel.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That was pretty good. He's like, don't stop. That was pretty fantastic. But I don't care really about Leonard and Penny together. So his whole accidental proposal, I'm like, whatever. Like, I don't know what it is about their relationship. I just don't care about it anymore.
Hmm.
I haven't cared about it in a while.
I think probably because you're so used to them not being together that the whole thing of them trying to be together, it's like, yeah, whatever.
I think
I'm still rooting for them, but I mean, it's not like I'm like static over it or anything, but I mean, like, I'm still kind of rooting for them.
Yeah. I still have images of when Keith Carradine did his guest spot as her dad, like, please, hang in there. You don't know the things he's brought home before.
You're actually a decent human being. All right, so good episode. Next up, let's talk about Community.
Why can't I remember this episode well, except for Starburns?
The end, of course, the big thing that they get expelled, but I'm trying,
it was all about Starburns and his funeral, and how they all made his funeral all about them. So, at his funeral, they all were like, we hate Greendale, and then they had a riot, and then Chang brought in little tiny
SWAT.
Chang used to bring in his little toy soldier armor.
Okay. I guess I was okay, because the Law and Order episode was pretty funny, so it wasn't as good as that.
No, not at all.
But I was very curious about the end. That's why I thought it was maybe the finale, because I was like, whoa, they're expelled? But you said there's one more.
There should be at least one more, because the sweeps goes into next week. So there should be at least one more. I'm not 100% sure.
It wasn't that they were expelled. It's just that they would have to do summer school.
No, they got expelled. At the end of the episode, they got expelled because Chang darts the dean. And then has a fake dean run through the room and say that they actually are criminals or whatever, so they all get expelled. And apparently, bringing them the council fruit baskets makes him their friend. So whatever. But yeah, it was, I'd say his thumb sideways, because it's not by far their best effort. It was kind of a mediocre episode because it didn't really have a theme. Their episodes that have themes are definitely the best ones. All right. Next up, let's talk about Vampire Diaries.
Woo!
So, Peter, I'm interested. You go first this time, since it's freshest in your mind. You just saw it.
Yeah, I just watched it last night. It's pretty good. I thought that they've done this a billion times, but basically one of the characters, usually Elena, is in some situation. Actually, originally it's Caroline, is in a situation where the villain, who's now the evil... I guess, wait, so Alaric. It's Alaric, but it's not really Alaric, right?
No, it's not really Alaric, right.
What do you mean it's not really Alaric?
Well, because he's faux Alaric. He's like the evil version of himself. He's not the same personality, so he's not really Alaric.
Like Dark Willow.
Yes. Except Dark Willow was really a jerk, but anyway, continue.
I liked that we get, first I love Klaus coming to the house, and he's trying to get in
the
window and all that stuff. I thought was pretty entertaining. But it's basically that they have to team up with them. And I love just that one moment where they're, like, spitfiring ideas. He's like, all right, let's say you go in and do this. And it's like, wait a minute, what if I get killed? And he's like, well, hey, that's not my problem. You know, like, I thought that was pretty good. I was like, oh, this is kind of fun just to see these immortals, like, trying to figure out what they're going to do, you know?
Right. That was, at least they decided to make a plan. Usually they don't even plan. So this is an improvement.
Yes, definitely, definitely. But I thought, and then the whole heartbeat thing. See, I wasn't sure because his body doesn't, you're right, it didn't disintegrate. So I was like,
it desiccated.
They say the spell desiccates him. It slows his heart down to nothing, and so his blood doesn't pump, and so he desiccates. So they said very clearly that he'd be frozen just like Michael was. So,
but then at the end, when they're in the car, Damon calls him dead.
Well, yeah, he just puts him in a, they put him in a coffin. Like, right. Normally when a vampire on Vampire Diary dies, they turn into goo. So the fact that he wasn't goo means he's not dead.
Right. And wait, and is Rebecca, did she just take off?
No, they don't. That's the wrong show. That's True Blood. I got my vampires confused.
Oh, no, no, no. Goo is True Blood. Yeah, you're right. True Blood is goo.
Yeah. But explosive goo.
Right, because in the first season of Vampire Diaries, when there was the one that was kind of a friend of theirs, and he totally kills her, Damon kills her. Yeah, right. She just kind of turns to like charcoal, but she doesn't disintegrate.
Right, but go ahead.
But did Rebecca just leave?
Yeah, because she told him that the guy with the stake was coming after them, and she's like, "We need to get out of here before sunset, or we're all gonna die. So we need to go now." And he was like, "No, I got to get my doppelganger." And his her thing is getting the doppelganger is his backup family, and so his family's not good enough for him. So she took that as an insult. She's like, "Well, I'm just leaving," and so she left. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. But yeah, no. You just curious? Any predictions for next week?
Well, I saw the preview, so it's kind of cheating.
Oh, I didn't because I saw it on Hulu. What was the preview?
Rebecca comes back looking for her brother. Like, where the heck is he? And they buried him somewhere. So I don't know if they're going to tell where they've hidden him. And because I think they go and dump him in the ocean. I think that's what the plan is. Because that's why the guys leave. They go leave to go to, like, the ocean and dump his body in or something. Both Damon and Stefan are gone, so when Rebecca comes back, it's just like Elena and those guys. So that will be interesting.
Yeah, no good can come from that.
All right, so wrapping up, thumbs up, Vampire Diaries, they actually iced one of their main characters. They iced him and didn't ice him. Like, they killed him.
That's a pretty good one, because he's so hard to contain, so I would say that still counts.
Right, so I thought that was thumbs up. Very good episode of Vampire Diaries.
And we got Jeremy and Bonnie back together.
Well, not sort of really, kinda. Because she's still got a boyfriend.
Well, but...
Well, she clearly cares about...
They shared a moment.
Yeah they had
they
a moment.
They shared a moment and everything, but yeah.
All right, so next up, let's talk about Parks.
Yeah, Parks, I can't wait to see where... Actually, wait, Tom, do you think she's going to actually win, or do you think they're going to have her lose?
I'm not sure.
No, I'm not sure either. I don't know.
I mean, obviously, why can't I think of his name?
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is not going to be doing the show on a regular basis, so... You know, he can't be a lead next year in case she loses... I think it would be fun if she does win.
But if she wins, then what happens to the show? Because, you know, the whole thing is she's in the Parks Department.
Just because, correct me if I'm wrong, is city council a full-time job? Or is it just the thing you do as well as your normal job?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I was assuming it was a new thing. Maybe you're right.
Because
I'm just thinking, I'm like, what would the show makeup be like then? You know, like, but maybe you're right. Maybe it wouldn't change as much. That was great too. The whole thing with the guy who was supposed to give them the vans, and Ron Swanson like just coming in and like, you know, being a man of your word. And then at one point, it's great that Ron Swanson was actually going to give like $12,000, you know, to help her campaign.
And then the guy gets greedy, and so they take him down.
Right, but that was great. Is that a Donna? You just rear-ended me. What are you talking about? Well, yeah, I've got witnesses. That was hilarious.
I just
know she loves her Mercedes. I mean, we that she is very big. Oh no, you didn't. She's so big on her Mercedes.
No, I'm just glad that this comedy has been consistently good all year. Well, it's a truncated season, but still, it's been consistently good.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think. I love Parks and I love Modern Family, but I mean, with only one episode left to go, and you're right, it is a truncated season. I would say Parks is my favorite comedy of the year.
All right. That sounds great.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah, great.
Wrapping that up. Next up, we're going to talk about Person of Interest. And for all those who have been paying attention to the show, this episode was impressive.
And it was huge arc story.
It is very big. And the thing about the show is that they do arc and then they do kind of standalone. But a lot of times when they do their arc, they do it within a standalone episode.
Mm-hmm.
So this time, it kind of felt like the standalone was just on hold. And this is just an all arc episode from pretty much beginning to end.
Well, the brilliance of the setup of the episode is they lure you into thinking, oh, it's Reese's birthday.
Yeah, it's his birthday, so it's going to be a light episode.
So it's going to be a light episode, no. and we're not doing a case. And then it turns out that was a manipulation by Finch.
Yeah, that was all pretty good, because once you realize why Finch didn't want Reese on the case, you know, he was like, well, I didn't know how your mental state would be with dealing with this kind of case. And I was like, what's got the case got to do? Like, you didn't understand? And then Reese went off the rails, like totally off the rails. And then you're like, oh, that's why he didn't want him on the case. Oh, that, and I really, only thing is, I really thought he was going to kill that guy. So I was kind of
Yeah, well, they lead you up to the point where you believe that's exactly what he's going to do. And so the phone call at the end comes as a little bit of, oh, okay, surprise.
Yeah, well, I was kind of disappointed, because I totally felt like, if you're going to go there, man, go there.
Go there, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget, this is a network television show. And
yeah. That's the thing. This isn't premium cable, so we're not going
to
go
We want there. Our heroes to act mostly heroic.
Well, the thing is, he has such a dark backstory anyway, so I was like, what's another body to his body count, you know? But, yeah, I really thought this was a great episode, especially the big reveal at the end. Like, he's at the hospital looking for his girlfriend, he's just gotten back, you know, and only to find out she's dead, and he bumps into somebody. The first time you go through it, you don't see who he bumps into. And then the second time you go through, you realize he bumps into Finch, who's in the hospital because his leg's messed up. And you're like, so close to finding out what happened to his leg. So close. But that's, I'm like...
Well, actually, I don't know if he was actually there for that reason, because remember, he's got the folder.
He's got the file, right.
You know, with all his information from the machine.
He's surveilling Reese.
Yeah. That's true. But he's still also recently, you know, been hurt, so he's still in the wheelchair. Yeah. So all that stuff kind of happened, and that's all pretty good. I thought that was... Anyway, I thought that the whole arc, and you do the backstory as when you do the flashbacks and see his one true love or whatever, and yeah, it's good. Oh, and Carter, I like how Carter basically, you know, her line was like, well, we don't kill people. She's like, that's my line. Except that he really was intimidating this episode. This is the first time I really felt Jim Caviezel was, like...
Scary.
He was scary.
Yeah, he was potentially very dangerous. Yeah.
That was really good. That was a good flip switch for him. Like, he scared Finch.
I thought it was fascinating, the reveal that he's got this, you know, basically this Mexican prison where he can stash people. he can frame and stash people he wants out of the way, and that there are other people there.
That he's also stashed.
Wasn't it the Dominican Republic or something like that?
Or Colombia or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that could be a nod to, okay, if I want to keep Carter on my team, I've got to play by her rules and not cross her line. So.
Right, because she very made it clear. She's like, this is my line. We will not cross it. She's like, all right. Well, he didn't say all right at the time, but yeah.
But she finds out later.
Well, it could have been he was intending to kill the guy and he changed his mind after she said something. Yep. So that could be it too. But anyway, really good episodes. The best one I think they've had all season. So, thumbs up.
Definitely.
Alright, next up, we're going to talk about Awake.
If I can stay awake.
Oh, that's come on. You got to come up with a better line than that.
Here's my problem. Just the structure. Okay. The thing. Yeah. Just,
let's not turn this into a bashing session.
The girlfriend.
Oh, the girlfriend.
The son's knocked up girlfriend. Mm-hmm. That plot line went exactly like you knew it was going to go.
That's true.
And so you're leaning on the do not care list. But a bigger problem is the whole conspiracy with Laura Innes from the event and
all that
stuff.
Well, actually, when you find out what the actual conspiracy is, I was like, really? That's it?
That's it?
That's it.
Seriously, that's it?
They're waiting for just one guy in the whole of Los Angeles to move just so they can get the stuff out of a warehouse? Really?
I'm just like, that made no sense whatsoever.
Oh, wait, that was like the scope of that conspiracy
was
so small.
I'm like, you guys suck as conspirators.
It was I'm actually glad that it was a very small conspiracy that actually wasn't like this grand scope of the government doing. It's just a drug dealer who wanted to get his drugs. That's it. Okay.
Yeah, but really, I mean, it was so inane. It's like, how bad a conspirator do you have to be that this is what you have to go through just to move heroin out of a warehouse? I mean, that's so lame. Well, you don't even deserve to be a conspirator if that's how bad you are.
Well, my thing is, because it's so simple, that means it's pretty much done. You know, so they actually got the heroin out of the warehouse, remember?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, it's done. The end. We don't have to deal with the conspiracy anymore. So.
Well, no, because if he stays.
But no, they're still going to be doing it for like the next two episodes.
If he
because he stays, yeah, they feel like they have to kill him.
I think there's only three episodes left of.
Yeah.
Technically,
and at least from the descriptions on my DVR, they're going to be dealing with it for at least the next two.
That's fine. I was just afraid it was going to be super complex and it's too hard to follow.
Yeah, but the whole thing with the pregnant girlfriend, just as soon as they started talking about that, I was ready to just tear my hair out of my head because I went, "Oh, you're not doing that. Oh, please. That is so old and cliched and horrible and dumb. You're just not going to go there." And they went there.
Yeah, well, we're done bashing out. Let's finish talking about the
just
show.
Just disappointed.
Okay.
All right.
All right, next up, let's talk about Supernatural. And the only good thing I have to say, well, not the only good thing, but I am so glad that Sarah Gamble is gone because her version of story arc irritates me. and talk about character assassination. They have destroyed Castiel. He is now a completely different character. And
yeah.
Some people said they liked it because he was funny, but that's
he was amusing, but he's no longer the Castiel we knew.
Right. You know? He's a funny character, and I'm sure Misha had a great time playing that character, but he wasn't Castiel. And it doesn't look like they're going to fix him anytime soon. The only thing I hope is when the new showrunner comes in, they wave a magic sanity wand over his head. Because, I mean, it's Supernatural. You could do stuff like
Let
that.
Let Cast be Cast.
Thank you. I'm
which
like,
they could do anytime they want to, really. But, sure. You know, I really don't like this, you know, like dancing through the flowers and talking like a Vorlon cast. I really don't.
And how stupid is Sam when the guy was like, it is the word written by Metatron, and he was like, he's a Transformer?
He's a Transformer.
And
I
then
mean,
Dean,
Sam, really?
Dean was like, no, that's Megatron, you idiot. And I was like, really? You thought he was a why would you even if you thought you heard that wrong, opening your mouth and saying that it's a Transformer sounds like you're an idiot. So,
And this is Sam, too. Sam, who's poured through all these books and
right.
has a college education.
Really?
He's going to say that, really? That's going to be a Sam line?
Yeah, except that Dean is totally the one who would know that it's Megatron, though. But it was just kind of silly. But I did like the new Prophet. I thought he was cool if he's not dead, but I like
yeah.
him.
Well, his mother certainly will be. He may survive because they need him for something.
Well, I like the fact they were like, what are you? Because they thought he was a demon. He was like, I'm a Kevin Tran. and he was like, I'm an
advanced placement.
That was great. They did do the stereotypical Asian thing with him being a celloist and a honor student, really. Like, I was like, really?
Yeah,
why are they
yeah.
doing this? But once he got out of his bedroom and was actually running around with monsters, he was fantastic. And watching Sam, who's like 6'9", like giant guy.
running
after little tiny Kevin Tran was hilarious. It was just like, that looked like a comedy show with clowns.
They did that episode already.
Yeah, I know. But that was actually pretty funny.
Yeah. Was anyone, though, remotely fooled, I mean, even for a nanosecond, about what the detective in Tran's house was going to turn out to be?
Well, I knew he was going to, I thought he was going to be a demon.
For even a second.
Actually,
I mean,
thought he was a demon, actually. And then he was like, he's a Leviathan. I was like, oh, of course. But
no,
one thing before
for the moment I looked at him, I went, hello, Leviathan.
And the thing I wanted to talk about real quick is my absolute hatred of Meg. This new Meg is so irritating. And trying to convince us that she's a good guy, I'm just like, we've done this already. Have you not been watching the show? I'm like, we did this with Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
And she was evil. And Meg is a demon we already know. And we know Meg is evil already. You cannot convince me that Meg is a good guy. It's just not going to happen. And it seems like they're trying to.
Well, I don't believe she's a good guy. I could understand that she's opportunistic enough to want to be like against the Leviathans because they would kill her. But I don't think that she's a good guy. You know, if they want to play her as teaming up with them because, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing, that I could go for.
Yeah, but I don't think the boys would. Remember the whole reason why Dean is angry at Castiel is because he teamed up with Crowley. Because they both were like the enemy of my enemy and they teamed up together and now he hates Castiel because of that. Really, now you're going to team up with Meg right after you just drew your land in the sand? We never make deals with demons? Are you kidding me? You have on one side Dean being angry at Castiel and then you have them working with Meg in the same episode. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. However, I did like the fact that Castiel was trying. They sit down and he holds up the game and it's sorry. So I like the fact that Castiel sort of kind of sideways in a crazy sort of way tries to apologize to Dean for like the whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was sort of good, but they made him just so weird. Like, yeah. Pull my finger.
I don't know. I also don't understand the rules that they come up with, really, because how is it that a Leviathan can trump an angel, but, like, earlier in the season, a powerful witch can trump a Leviathan?
I don't even understand, because that Leviathan killed those angels way too easily.
Really, and yet earlier in the season, we had the two powerful witches, you know, who were able to completely overwhelm the Leviathan.
And also,
witches are more powerful than angels now.
They need to rework their cosmology.
Well, because the whole thing is they were trying to get Cass to be their backup, but I'm like, if angels get killed that easily, you don't want Cass their backup. Like, yeah, it made no sense.
It's not going to be much use.
Yeah, that made no sense. Anyway, all right. Wrapping that up, I still hope that this ends up wrapping up well. I think it still could, but I am very glad we're going to have a new arc next season. I'm so ready for a new arc. All right, next up, we want to talk about In Plain Sight, and it is the series finale. And if you actually want to see my written review of the finale, I've got it over at wheatonopolis.com. My verbal review, I'll try to be as succinct. Has anybody else seen it?
Nope.
No? Nobody else watches In Plain Sight? I only feel like I need to talk about it because it is the series finale. And I know Ronnie wishes she was on there because we were texting each other and we were vehemently disagreeing on what we thought about the episode. But my personal opinion is that if you're going to build up the drama of will they or won't they between Marshall and Mary, the entire episode was all about Marshall's fiance was like, you have to figure out how you feel about Mary before we can actually walk down the aisle, because I won't walk down the aisle with you until you've got that all figured out. And then he's like, oh, Mary, I really got to talk to you. It's really important. And so they build this whole thing up, and then they go and talk, and he's like, oh, I love you, but as a friend. And I'm like, what? I was like, what's all the buildup? If you love her as a friend, this whole conversation was unnecessary. And so he's like, I love you as a friend, but I need you to release me so that I can put my fiance above you.
Wait a minute. If you love somebody as a friend, you shouldn't have to be released to put your fiance above.
I know this. That's why I was kind of like, I felt like the writers very much were trying to build drama that wasn't there.
Ugh.
Because I really didn't think that Marshall was necessarily going to end up with Mary. Like, it never really occurred to me that they were going to go there, because they very much showed that Marshall had moved on past Mary. So I was cool with him and his fiance, totally no problem. And then all of a sudden they do this whole thing, and then nothing comes of it. I was like, that was a complete waste of my time.
That's what we call false stakes.
Yes, it was totally false. And then the wrap-up for the season was so pat. Like, they had this whole drama about their Albuquerque office was going to get shut down. So that was all season they've been talking about. Maybe it's going to get shut down. Maybe it's going to get shut down. What are we going to do? We got to find a new job. And then in the last episode, their boss, I forgot the boss's name, he gets promoted to DC, and he becomes like a regional manager or whatever, and decides, you know what? Not closing the office. So he has the authority to not close the office, and then he puts Marshall in as his replacement, and everything goes on as normal. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So
another set of false takes.
Yeah, so nothing happens in the finale. And the thing that's so frustrating about it is that the two-parter before the finale that involved Stephen Lang and her dad were fantastic. Like, really good episodes. Stuff happens. It was incredible. Marriott had to confront feelings that she didn't know what to deal with, and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, all that was really good. And then you get me to the series finale, and you do nothing.
Hmm.
So I was really disappointed in the finale, and I feel like if I ever watch this show again, I just wouldn't watch the last episode. Like, it's totally unnecessary.
Doesn't exist.
Nothing happens in it. It is absolutely unnecessary, and I want my hour of my life back. So that's it. I hate to be all negative because I love the show. It's a good show. And I'm not saying don't watch it, because if you've never seen the show, you should totally watch the show. Just the last episode doesn't give you any new resolution. That's all.
No closure.
Anyway, next up, on a better note, let's talk about Fringe.
Okay. That was a surprise.
I was totally a surprise, because I thought Leonard Nimoy retired.
He did.
Well, they made a big deal of that he was absolutely putting his foot down and saying no to any other appearances ever, ever, ever in his lifetime, ever. And then all of a sudden,
I bet you JJ said, pretty Leonard please, Nimoy, with sugar on top and the cherry and a wad of cash.
And he said, you'll be the villain of the piece. And he's like, all right, fine.
I couldn't figure it out why he looked so strange. Then Libya said it's because they dyed his hair.
Yeah,
because
he had gray hair.
Because initially I'm like, is that really literally? Is that a double? Is that
he
CGI?
He looked really bad. He looked like they'd exhumed him
for this. Oh, wow. Wow.
Back from the dead, Leonard Nimoy. Give him up, everybody.
Yeah, he does. Like, I understand why he retired. I get it. Because and he literally did not move from his spot. Like, all his lines were said in one spot.
I may be quibbling. I think the episode dramatically might have been stronger if they had played is Walter crazy or not until the very end and verify that William Bell is indeed alive and is the big bad.
Well, no, but except that I love the whole chess reference.
Yeah,
like
that great
whole conversation he has
with the bishop, sacrificing the bishop.
Yeah, I really like that. That dramatically, that was pretty good.
The thing is, I don't know. I think you could have gotten more dramatic tension out of people thinking Walter's losing it and might need to go back to the funny farm for real.
But I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have believed.
Yeah, because how often have they done that? I mean, Walter's always crazy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have believed that they were actually going to put him back in the asylum. So that's false stakes. That's a false stakes situation. I would never have believed that Walter was going to be back in the asylum.
Although it was interesting when he meets the new person running it. You're much more attractive
than
your predecessor.
And then he was licking the paper and stuff. Everyone's like, what are you doing? Like, that was just. But I liked it that Olivia and Peter were just nonchalant about it. They're like, yeah, it's just Walter. That's what I'm saying. He was never going to end up back there. They wouldn't have put him back in there. So, and then they did the whole Astrid. Who here thinks that Astrid is dead?
Oh, first of all, we know that. I mean, there's no tension in there for me because 2 episodes ago, she's in 2036.
I know.
2032. What was that?
But
so
what reality?
She's alive in the future.
No,
she's
it was
not
our
dying
reality.
Now.
Okay.
Peter, you haven't commented.
Yeah, no, I was disappointed at first because I guess I misread the promo. I thought they were like the 2-hour finale of Fringe. And so I hit play and I'm like, hey, how come this is part one and it's only 43 minutes? So I'm watching the episode and I'm like, this doesn't feel like a finale. I'm like, interesting. I'm like, seems like they got a lot to do here. So then they shoot Astrid and I was like, oh my God, they shot Astrid. And I was like, would they really kill Astrid? I was like, well, if it's the finale, maybe. And then I realized, oh, I misunderstood. The big finale is actually next week. So now I don't think Astrid's dead. And then I also earlier in the episode we see Walter isn't he showing some like pastry that when you put the stuff
yeah the lemon the pig's brain lemon cake
right and it heals itself right, right. So I'm yes. like she didn't eat it. But yes, I'm assuming if they get her back in time, she'll be okay or something. But
yeah, it's like the Chekhov's gun thing. Yeah, they show it in the first act.
Yeah, it better pay off.
But overall, I thought it was kind of a lackluster episode. But now that I'm thinking, it was really just a part one of two.
Right.
That's probably why. I'm sure next week will really hit us. But yeah, although wait, question for the group: when Belly says, Belly. You know, the most important piece on the board is the bishop, and that's why I have to get rid of it. Me and the person I was watching it, we're like, does Jared Harris realize he's the one who's going to get killed? Did you guys think?
I thought it was a bishop.
One of the bishops because of the name bishop?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't think that at all.
I just took it. I really did. I took it at face value and thought, oh, that's, you know, what he means. So it wasn't until I realized later that, yeah, you don't sacrifice somebody else's bishop. You sacrifice
your own.
That's what I figured, which is why I didn't understand why David Jones was like, I got it, no problem. I'm like, all right, he seems rather okay with his imminent death.
So for those of us who aren't chess aficionados.
Well, I literally thought he meant Walter. My thing was, I was like, does he mean Walter or Peter?
Right, because of the name Bishop, right. too. Right.
Well, that's what Jones thought he meant. So, you know. I was with Jones on that.
You can't trust those evil, tricky masterminds, I tell you.
But I thought that was a good twist, because I really was... I actually thought, I said, you know what? Peter's not the bishop you would sacrifice, because mm-hmm. he's not the most powerful. I was like, Walter, if you're going to sacrifice him, he should be trying to kill Walter, because he's the brains of this operation. And then when he dies, I was like, oh, that makes way more sense. I was like, all right.
I actually thought that he was referring to Walter, and I thought that, you know, that that Peter and Olivia were just being sort of distracted and gotten out of the way while he went for Walter. That's what I thought was being done, actually. But when he ended up getting killed, I went, oh, right, okay.
Well,
stupid
also,
me.
We also didn't talk about the big elephant in the room, which is Olivia. Her superpowers.
I love the fact that it freaks her out.
Well, except for this time, it really didn't. She actually actively just decided to use it.
Well,
she had to.
There, but when she's talking with Peter later on, she's freaked out.
Yeah, it was good.
And it was nice to see a moment of the two of them sharing like that, and just her reflecting that what we do is really strange. And we usually don't stop to talk about it, but it's really weird.
That's not normal.
But yeah, I like the fact that they've taken Olivia out of the box and basically letting her do cool new things. Like, at this point, I don't know what she can do. She can do anything. And I like that. It's pretty cool. So, looking forward to the next episode. Mm-hmm. All right. And that wraps it up for us for this week's podcast. If you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Remember to review us on iTunes. You can listen to us on GetThePointRadio.com, Krypton Radio, and Wheatonopolis. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye.